Need any water?
Why do you want that?
I don't know how long it's been there. We're just going to pray for Sue now. We thank you, Lord, for Sue. We thank you for the message that she's going to bring us. And we just pray that you'll prepare our hearts to receive it from you. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Thank you. Yeah, perfect. Good morning, church. Good morning. It's good to see you all. Before I start, one of the things this morning that you've got, wait for these guys just to catch up a minute. Chatting away. Right, all the little ones, have they gone? Right, big ones, I need your attention for a minute now. So, as we were worshipping then, I want to tell you that you've got God's favour. You have God's favour. Whoever you are, you have God's favour. And when God created everything, it's what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm going to talk about God being the centre, Jesus being the centre of everything this morning. And you know, I'm still reading this book, In Pursuit of God. And I am near the end now, but what it does is it really challenges me about my own faith. So I've pinched some bits out of the book, but then some of the things that I'm going to share this morning are thoughts that I've had after I've read some parts of this book that the Holy Spirit has brought to me. And I think it's a combination of the two things that I pray will bless you, but also will help you. Because all of us need to learn something. We're not finished yet. This journey we're on, we've not finished it yet. So we're still learning and we've still got things to listen to God's Holy Spirit about. Okay. You don't have to look too far to understand that as a human race, that relationships are really important to us. We've only got to look at what happened during COVID. And the repercussions of during COVID, what happened of people being on their own and the isolation that people felt. We are meant to be in relationship, each one of us. And if you're on your own at home, develop good relationships outside of that. And I know some of you do. I don't watch everything of David Attenborough because I find some of it upsets me. Because I see how the world is changing. And I was brought up with the World Wildlife Fund. I've told you this before. And I remember walking up Shewcroft Avenue, holding my mum's hand, talking about the elephants and talking about the tigers and talking about all the things. The World Wildlife Fund, when I was about 7 or 8, was massive. And I was talking to my mum about the things that I was bothered about. And I'm still bothered about. And if I wasn't a Christian, I know I'd be one of those people campaigning, because that's the sort of person I am. And I see the effects of everything that's happening in our world. But what I also see are the positive things, the strength of relationships between species. I watched David Attenborough the other week, and there were these two dolphins. One was a normal dolphin, and one was what they call a hammerhead dolphin. And these two dolphins had developed this friendship. So one from one species and one from another, and they were going up and down the ocean together, and they'd been like pals. And I was watching this documentary, and then this dolphin met a wider group. They're both males, and what they did was they had to leave where they were. Like most species, the male species, they're chucked out of where they are and they have to go and find their own way. And this normal dolphin without the hammerhead met a larger group of dolphins, and he had to choose between the hammerhead, his mate, and this group. And it was all televised, and he chose this other group, so the hammerhead went off on his own. But I thought, you know, even in nature, different species are together and they form friendships. And animals form amazing friendships. And God has created us, mankind, and the animals to have relationships. Relationships are so important. But the truest relationship is the one in Genesis, when God created us. Before the fall, that is what God intended. Go and read it. What God intended when he made mankind. To have someone to walk with in the garden. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine walking with God in the garden in that sense. But mankind chose his own way. And mankind would have never known what that choice... we know what that choice meant of rejecting God and opening up that kind of sin that then came after that, the disobedience. Adam would have never known what he chosen, and we know what the consequences of that choice were. But God gave us a free will, and we've all got that. We see the effects of decay, and we see the effects of breakdown, and we see a broken society. But I have good news for you this morning. Good news. Our salvation restores and establishes the right relationship with God, our Creator, and with one another. We know that scripture, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your might, and love your neighbour as yourself. We know that. We talk about it an awful lot. Scripture, Romans 10, 9, verse 3. Can you just have the lights dimmed a bit, please? Is it possible to? Thank you. If you declare with your mouth Jesus Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and justified. It's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. The scripture says, anyone who believes in me will never be put to shame. Yeah. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you've done that, you are then entering into that brand new relationship. But it doesn't stop there. You hear us talking about that a lot when we're together. It doesn't stop there. That's the start. That's the start of everything. The great thing about that start is that's the reset point. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, because God's been really speaking to me about the reset point. You see, the reset point, when we first become a Christian, it changes us. From that moment when we have that experience of asking God to come in, that's our reset point. And sometimes we can lose our way. The reset point, sometimes, you know, we can go off the reset point for a while, but God will always bring us back. Now, I'm rubbish at directions. Right? So if you tell me a direction, I'll never get there. So I love sat-nav, but I have to tell you, I still get lost with sat-nav. Right? I just have not got a compass. Jonathan and Andy both got a compass, and I just haven't got one. It's not one. I just don't have one. I put stuff in the sat-nav and can still get it wrong. And I can still get lost. And I still miss junctions. It's a nightmare trying to find the right way for me. But sometimes when I'm on a journey and I have to press, you know, that little bit on the screen that says recenter, because I've kind of lost where I am. I have to press that recenter bit and it takes me back to where I should be. And sometimes as Christians, that's what we've got to do. You know, when we first become that Christian and we first ask God to be part of us, the adjustment that's made, it's not a God adjustment. I want to be clear this morning. I think sometimes this is where we get things wrong. When we become a Christian, we want God to be different. We want us to kind of be a bit changed. But we want God to be different. And I want to tell you this morning, God is not different. You heard me talk about that 2-3 weeks ago. God does not change. God is the same. But we like to change things. We like to adjust people. Sometimes we have to press the reset button at different points in our life. You know, when I was younger, I used to think, oh, I'm fine now, you know, I'm walking my God, and then something happens, things change, and you get older, different things happen. We've got to continually check, do we need to press that reset button? Because we have phases in our lives where sometimes we have to find ourselves again. Something, things happen to us, we have to find ourselves again. You press the reset button. Sometimes illness, we have to find ourselves again. Sometimes loss, we have to find ourselves again. So sometimes we have to press this reset button. God has not finished with you yet. Philippians 1, verse 6. I'm confident of this, that who began a good work in you will carry it on. So what God started with you, he will continue. Don't be discouraged. Life is complicated. It's not straightforward for any of you. When I look around the room, I know little snippets about different things. Life is very complicated. It's not straightforward for you. It's not straightforward for your families. We can find ourselves in a world that's very different and with difficult situations. And sometimes that can make us feel overwhelmed. But the answer is to put God in the centre. I can tell you 100% you put God in the centre. Take God as he is and adjust your life. It's about adjusting your life. Put God in the centre. Ask him to be in the centre. When Moses saw the burning bush, what attracted him to the bush was that it wasn't burning. It wasn't physically burning. So it was burning, but the leaves were still green. That's what I mean. And he said to God, "Who are you?" And God, in Exodus 3, verse 14, says, God said to Moses, let me stand up. God says to Moses, "I am who I am." This is what you are to say to the Israelites. "I am has sent me to you." So Moses heard God's voice, and I thought, you know, Moses knew God. He heard his voice and straight away answered. But he asked, "Who do I tell him that when I go to these people, these Israelites, who do I say you are?" And God says, "I am." Jesus spoke the same words in the New Testament, and there's a reason for that. And for those of you that are newer to faith, that was to show that he knew the Bible, he knew what was in God's word in the Old Testament, and Jesus said, "I am." But Jesus, now if you want to read stuff, read John chapter 8 to 16, and that's full of what I call the I ams. So Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the bread of life. I am the vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am is the self-existent one." That's what it means. Yahweh, Jehovah. And Jesus is referring to himself as the great I am. When he spoke to the Pharisees, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He could have said, "I was," but he said, "I am." And they were confused because they were looking at this man. And how can you be older than Abraham? But what Jesus was saying, that he was God. Jesus was God in the flesh. And that's what it means when Christ says, "I am." Last time I spoke to you, I said to you that God doesn't change. But the world around us is constantly changing, and it will continue to change, and that's a challenge for us. There's things all the time. Only this week in the news, I watched the news quite a bit, and then this week there's kind of a rival to Twitter been launched. Have you seen that on the news? There's a rival to Twitter been launched. And each day, somebody comes with a new way of doing things. Have you noticed? Sometimes it's our politicians. It don't matter which party they are. I'm not going to get political here. It don't matter which party they are. They all come up with, "Well, we're doing this." And in that four-year period, what changes? What changes? It don't matter which party. Sometimes things don't work, and sometimes it's worse. You look at things now at the moment, and you know, things aren't good. And there's something about us in our humanity that wants to change things. There's something about us where we want to change things. And some things have changed, and they work. You know, there's that phrase, isn't it? It's not broke, don't fix it. And there's something about us that wants to change. Do you want to change your wife? Do you want to change your husband? Do you want to change children? Some things in our Christianity and beliefs we want to change. We want to make it suit me. We want God to be different. But he is the I am. That's why I've read it out to you this morning. He is the I am. He's the fixed point. God is the great I am. And I've written here, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive honour and power and glory, for you've created all things for your pleasure. They were created. You were created for God's pleasure. We should feel that the very thought of changing God should be painful to us. And we're not used to that in this world. We think we can change everything. You know, you say to someone, oh, you can't have that, and you can see the little sort of wheels working, or just give it a while, I'll change that. You can see it. It's in most of us. But we can't change God. God is who he is. The thing that wants to change things, it's called flesh. And in the Bible, it's returned to a really old-fashioned word, which it says carnal. That's our nature. We want something easier. How many of us want it easier? We do, don't we? We do want things easier. But God is who he says he is. He's the centre. All-powerful. You see, when he's the centre of everything, it enables you to deal with everything that comes your way. Everything. So Tozer, in the book that I've been reading, he quotes this, and it's quite powerful. He says that God is all-powerful, number one in our lives, then we no longer are we part of the world's parade. And when I read that, I thought, the world's parade. The world is going round and round and past us, and things are happening all the time, and it never stands still. And sometimes you're just observing things, and it's moving and it's moving. And what he said was, the world is like a parade. And I thought, yeah. And when I read that, I had this kind of picture of me watching everything just go past and past and past. And sometimes we need to ask God what's happening. You as an individual, when you're faced with stuff that's difficult and very much of our culture, you need to say, God, what's happening here? Talk to me, God, about what's happening. Tell me what's happening. Because you need his perspective, and that's why he needs to be the centre, because you need his perspective. We're in the world. John 17, verse 11. 14 and 5. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. That's the gist of what that scripture's saying. When we come to the place of him being first, you'll make immense progress in your Christian life. Even recentering yourself this morning, or starting where that's the first point. Your thinking changes as soon as you recenter. And your mind becomes submitted to God, because that's one of the things that needs to happen. It's not just your mind, though, it's your heart as well. And that'll overflow into all your circumstances, into your everyday. And you'll praise God more, and you'll have words like, I exalt you, I lift you up, I worship you, I love you. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your favour. Worship will become much easier. Some of you will be thinking, how can I do this in this world that I'm in? How can I do this with these really challenging situations? How can I be at work and represent you the way I need to with some of the things that come up? How can I do life with some of the things that I'm facing? How can I do this in my family with what's happening? This is happening to my children. This is happening to me. I want to tell you, Jesus modelled it perfectly. You have to go back to the New Testament and read how Jesus managed stuff. And he perfectly managed life on earth. When God's in the right place, in charge of your personal throne, I've put, then he shows us specifically what we need to do in every circumstances. And I've experienced this honestly and truthfully, I've experienced this. He gives us answers that we don't have. He gives us wisdom that we don't have. Do you remember the story of King Solomon? And the two women were fighting over a baby. And they brought the baby to King Solomon. And he got a sword. And he said to the women, right, we'll chop this baby in half. Now, I know it sounds barbaric. But the real mother of the child said, let the other woman have it. And then he knew then he was the true mother. I'm not being funny. We need the wisdom of Solomon. You need unique wisdom to be dealing with the things that you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis, the relationships, the people that you're working with. You need that wisdom. I want you to ask yourself these questions. When you're pressing the reset button, there's some things that you need to decide that Lord is Lord. How important is your job to you? Is it above God? How important is money? Is God in charge of your money? How important is your ambition? I used to be very ambitious. I had to give that to God. That was one of my resets. I had to give that to God. You can gain the whole world but lose your soul. You see, the upside down thinking that we often talk about is when we give up stuff, we become less. But with God, we completely become more. As soon as we hand over money, you won't believe how much money you get. And it's not a kind of, well, if I do this, then God will give me that. It's got nothing to do with that. As soon as you relinquish power over things, and as soon as you give stuff to God, God blesses you in ways you'd never believe. As soon as you say, I don't want to, trample on people to get to where I want to go, you get offered all these jobs. And you find yourself in charge of everything and being in the right place at the right time without having to do it how other people have had to do it. God puts things in the right place. When we focus on our own life, image, the world's about image, how we look. I need to stick my lips out now and then I look like some others, really pouty lips. And all these injections that everyone's having. It's not about all that. It's not what God intended. We are made by Him to live in a way that relationship is now restored and was intended. So, live in it, Christian. Live in it. Live in what God created you for. Live in it. And like was prayed this morning, He's more than a friend. He's more than a friend, He's a creator God. Some of you will be like Moses. When Moses was given the task of the children of Israel, no wonder he said, what if, what if, what if, and asked loads of questions. But we won't go off course because of the Holy Spirit. Living this life, God intended, is like coming home. I can't tell you the peace that I have in my life because my life is like I'm home. So I know I'm not here forever, but as I live now, I'm home. As I live now on my day-to-day, I'm home. As I live now with things that come up, I take them to God. He gives me answers. It's not easy. This is not, what I'm talking about is not easy. But what I'm saying is God gives you solutions. And He gives you the most up-to-date solutions. I've talked to you before about, when we've been Christians a long time, some of the stuff we've learned, we still have to give that to God and say, God, is this still right? Because sometimes some of the things we were taught weren't right. I'm sorry to say that, but they were said in the sort of time 30, 40 years ago, but we're in a different world now. And we have to come back to God and say, God, give me wisdom for today. God, give me this fresh bread for today. God, give me this for today. Submit your heart and your head. Put God first, and all things will be added to you. That's the promise. Put God first, all things will be added to you, and you'll be incredibly rich. When Eddie and I went to Africa, I was overwhelmed by the richness of people, that they had God, they didn't have anything else, but they had God. And in our society, we have everything else and not God. But they were so rich, and that was such a lesson to me. And we as Christians have so much. And you have all those resources of that relationship that God intended at the beginning. Those resources are for you to draw on. We're going to sing a song now. I want you to stand. We're going to worship God. We're going to, with one final song, and then we'll have the offering. But in this next song, the words, when I was praying about what I wanted to sing, because I do like music after I've spoken, because I want to give you an opportunity as an individual to set the reset button. So I want to give you the opportunity now as we worship for you to set the reset button, for you to praise God and honour him, just personally yourself. And if you need to do that, then stand and worship. Okay? Thank you.